analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, happy Victoria Day. It is Baseball Central, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Ben Annis filling in for Jeff Blair. Kevin Barker now in studio. Happy Victoria Day.
How are you? Happy holidays.
Yeah, likewise. What'd you get me for Victoria Day?
Same thing I got you last year.
Oh, yeah, which is nothing. Did you have any fireworks go off outside your house yesterday?
No, but we went to the park. What's that?
It's called a park. What?
No. We're the big park. What's it called? My wife's probably... Yes, Wonderland. Wonderland. Is that a park?
Yeah. Are you talking about Wonderland? Okay.
We went to the fireworks and that was a lot of fun. My son loved it. First time I'd ever been.
Did he go on any of the rides? I guess he's too young to go on the rides, right? Like the big
No,
rides.
they have younger, you know, you can go, but we didn't go
Ghoster
on rides.
Ghoster Coaster? No. That was the first roller coaster I ever went on, was the Ghoster Coaster at Wonderland.
Yeah,
I like Wonderland.
My son loves the fireworks, so he had a great time.
Who doesn't love fireworks, except when they're going off outside your bedroom at 2:30 in the morning?
The only thing I wasn't real happy about was the traffic afterwards was crazy.
That's not
nuts
fun.
Trying to get out of there. Oh, but, you know, it was a lot of fun anyway.
Yeah, coming
down
the 400 on a long weekend, yeah, that makes sense.
No, actually getting out of that place was crazy.
Well, yeah, that too.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. But you survived. You're with me here on Baseball Central. The Blue Jays having a tough go of it. They're barely surviving. Losers of five straight. They lose four straight in Houston this afternoon. 107 first pitch against the Angels. CJ Wilson against now Todd Redmond. Man, Kev, you look back at those four games in Houston. You heard John Gibbons say we got our bleeps kicked, and Mark Burley say we stink right now. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. They lost in every conceivable way. They got one lousy start by R.A. Dickey, a couple of bullpen implosions, and yesterday didn't have enough offense and went 0 for 12 with runners in scoring position. Say something positive right now, can you?
There's not one. You got beat by a better team. The Astros right now are a better team than the Blue Jays. And, you know, you go to on the road, you have to beat teams that you should beat. Right now, excuse me, the Astros are doing everything right. They're pitching the ball good. They're getting a timely hit, and they're playing enough defense. Excuse me, and that's what you do when you're a good team. That's what you do when you're in first place. You go and you beat teams that are not in first place. Blue Jays came in, they're facing a hot team, and they didn't do what they needed to do to win games. And you have to wonder, you come away from that series, you're scratching your head a little bit on where the Blue Jays are headed. It's, you know, they're striking out a lot more on the road now, and when that was their strength, it's putting a lot of balls in play, better approach, and they're not pitching, obviously. And when you do those two things on the road, this is what happens. You come home 1-6 on the road and scratching your head because now you're facing a good team. You're facing the Angels, which they're in the top five in pitching and they're in the lower half in hitting in the league or in baseball. How are you going to win these games? You have to go out and get a timely hit and you have to pitch the ball a lot. Can the Blue Jays do that?
It's a lot easier to be a winning team if you can't hit but you can pitch than it is to be a winning team when you can't pitch, but you can hit, I would say. I mean, the Rays, for years, were a team that kind of got by with meh offense, but great pitching. I think it's a lot easier to do what the Angels are doing this year with good pitching, and they can't really hit all that well, and maybe that'll turn around. I mean, they got Mike Trout, and Albert Pujols is off to a slow start. But I think if you were going to ask a GM, what would you rather have, bad pitching and good offense, or good pitching and bad offense, I think they would take the latter, wouldn't you?
Well, good pitching keeps you in games, gives you a chance to get that timely hit when you need it. And the Blue Jays are not doing that on a everyday basis. That's going to hurt your team. You have to – the five guys you run out there have to give you a chance to win. And, you know, Mark Burley did exactly what Mark Burley was supposed to do.
Yeah.
He was supposed to go eight innings against a team that's not very good hitting. And, you know, let's face it, the Astros do one thing. That's hit the ball out of the yard. And if you keep them in the yard, you got a good chance of winning. The Blue Jays didn't do that in four games. What'd they hit? They hit nine home runs in four games?
Yeah.
That's not going to get it done when that's what you have to do when you go to face Houston. Keep them in the yard. And, you know, you make quality pitches. You go down and away early, and you put guys away out of the strike zone when teams chase. And the Blue Jays are not doing that. They're not doing enough pitching. And how do you fix that when 1 through 12 is struggling? That's going to be a big if and a big question mark all year for Alex.
Okay, so they're going to start throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks, it appears, because Todd Redmond got called up today. And we thought he was just going to be the swing man in the bullpen because Jeff Francis was DFA'd to make room for him. But nope, he's starting today. And we're just going through his game log with the Bisons this year. He's only made one start, but he's been increasing his pitch count every outing. In his last outing in relief, he threw 80 pitches. So I guess he'll be 90-plus today, able to start. But according to John Gibbons, everybody's just going to be moved back a day, and they haven't made a call on Daniel Norris. It seemed like that would make sense, that Norris would now be the guy to be called up and take Marco Estrada's spot, and he would go back to the bullpen or whatever, but we haven't heard anything about that. But what do you make of this move of Todd Redmond now? Todd Redmond, who we've seen plenty of the last couple of years, a guy, but now he's part of this starting rotation, at least for one turnaround.
Well, the pitching staff gives up 2.5 less runs at home. They give up almost half as many home runs at home. When you do that, you walk less people at home, you give up less home runs, you give up a couple runs less, gives you a better chance to win. Why that is, who knows? It could be numerous things. Could be because you're young in the pitching staff. It could be anything. But, you know, you come home, you have to win these games. Today, it's a holiday. There's going to be a lot of people at the game. You're going to have to come out and do everything right to beat a good team, a good managed team. You have to forget that. They're going to do everything right, meaning the Angels. You have to come here and pitch well and beat this team. And can you do it? That's a question. It's been a question all year. It's going to keep being a question until one guy steps up. You sort of follow the leader. Maybe it starts with Mark Burley.
Yeah, I think the question remains, I mean, how are they going to improve this staff that's been pretty brutal through the first almost third of the season now? And I don't think anybody expects Todd Redmond to be like the elixir that cures it all. But if you're Alex Anthopoulos, I mean, what moves do you have? You can't go out and pull the trigger on a trade. Nobody trades at this point in the season. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to happen in June at some point. Plus, everybody wants pitching. You don't think the Boston Red Sox would like a couple of extra starting arms on that team? No question they would. So how do you go about fixing it, Kevin? Do you just have to keep running the same guys out here? Obviously, Alex is willing to try anything if he's running Todd Redmond out there.
I think you have to – it's sort of a merry-go-round. You go with what – is doing well. If it's in the minor leagues, you call it up. And that's what they're doing now. They're going, not saying Todd Redmond's pitching that great in the minor leagues, but he's been here. He's going to attack guys. He's not going to, at times, walk people. That's what you have to do. Stay away from the crooked home run. If you can, you know, give up a solo home run, that's okay. You start giving up those crooked home runs, that's when your team is struggling, and then your offense struggles, your entire team starts to struggle, and you know, it's starting to be frustrating. It's starting to be frustrating for the offense. It's starting to be struggle, obviously, for your bullpen, which is starting to be one of your strengths. It starts with those five guys. If those five guys can get on a roll and start throwing a lot of strikes, getting ahead of guys and keeping the ball in the yard, not walking people, that's the biggest issue to me. When you watch this team play and they walk almost four guys a game, that's you just can't do that. If you're a manager, if you're a GM, that's you're not going to accept that, and you're going to start making changes. And if it's May, if it's June 1st, when you can do it, you start making changes. And I think you're going to start seeing changes made sooner than later.
Well, how about this on that point? Todd Redmond with the Bisons in AAA this year, 14 innings, only 2 walks, and hasn't walked anybody in his last 2 outings, which is 9 1/3 innings. So maybe the Blue Jays are looking specifically at that 0 walk total, because you're right. I mean, it's one thing to give up hits and not strike people out and give up home runs. It's another when you're also walking the yard. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been times where Aaron Sanchez has been able to get away with it, but this is a team that during spring training, all we heard was, we're preaching to everybody, throw strikes, throw strikes, throw strikes, and they appeared to be doing so in the Grapefruit League. It's a totally different thing, though, when it comes to the regular season. And I guess if you want to look at a reasoning for calling up Todd Redmond, at least you have an idea that he's going to throw you a strike or two.
Yeah, I think they're searching. It is what it is right now. He's a guy that's going to come up and throw strikes. He's going to throw a lot of fastballs. He's not going to beat himself via the walk. And he's going to make the other team beat him. How many innings is he going to go? Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, it's basically, if he can give you five, that's a good outing. Keep you in a game. Give your offense a chance to win the game, which is they hit really well at home. That's a big deal. They hit more home runs at home. They don't strike out as much. They strike out almost 100 more times on the road than they do at home. That means their approach is a lot better here. They're going to have the crowd behind them. Hopefully there's a big crowd here. And you can just hope that this pitching staff can get on a roll and help this team win. Because if they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to be because of pitching. It's not going to be because they hit a lot of home runs. It's going to be because they don't beat themselves on the defensive side of the ball, and they pitch the ball a lot. Hopefully they can get that started.
Yeah, and they don't need five aces. They need somebody to keep them in ball games, which they haven't had for the majority of the season. But the offense has been good overall, Kev, when you look at the number of runs scored. And they're missing a whole bunch of guys. I mean, Jose Reyes still out. Now, Devin Travis is held out of today's lineup once again. The offense looks a lot better if Jose Bautista's in right field, and you can put Justin Smoke in at first base, move Edwin Encarnacion to the DH position. Some positive news today in that regard is Jose Bautista is going to throw a baseball. So that's good. So everybody, you know, clamoring for Blue Jays to DL Jose Bautista because his shoulder wasn't healing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it is progressing enough that he's going to try and throw a baseball, and how that changes this Blue Jays. And you know what? It's not just the offense too, because you saw Justin Smoke in Grapefruit League, the type of defense he was playing at first base, saving throwing errors from the left side of the diamond too. I mean, that changes this team incredibly if you're able to put Smoke in there.
Yeah, well, again, Batista's your best player. He's your best hitter. He stops running games in the outfield. When he's not in the outfield, it makes your team worse. That's why people were saying, let's DL Jose Bautista because he's not hitting home runs as a DH. Being a DH is one of the hardest things to do in baseball. That's why you don't see a lot of good ones. David Ortiz comes to mind because he's sort of gotten a groove of it. It's just, you know, part of his game. Batista's used to running out in the outfield, throwing guys out. It's part of his game. On occasion, umpires make bad calls. He takes that to the outfield. It sort of is a reliever being in the outfield, throwing guys out, playing good defense, things like that. When you're not doing those things, part of the ball, you carry it on per at bat. And it's showing. Batista's one of those guys you want to see leave the yard. He's hitting home runs. What's he hit DHing? Maybe one home run. That's an issue to me. If he can't throw the ball here soon, you have to think about things. You have to think about what makes your team better, what gives your team a better chance to win. Is it Jose Bautista DHing? I'm not real sure of that. That's one of those things, though. He is a superstar. He gets treated like no other guy on this team because of what he's done in the past, what he brings to this team. And it's one of those guys you have to sit down and basically say, Jose, what do you want to do? And if he says, I want to keep playing and I want to keep DHing, that's just what you do. You keep DHing him, and hopefully he starts getting in a groove. And again, I get back to the point, offense is a great thing in baseball. You're not going to make the playoffs if you're a Blue Jays fan or on a Blue Jays team unless you're pitching the ball better, a lot better, not being 30th in baseball on the road in pitching and middle of the pack in pitching whatsoever, whether that be 29th, 15th, 18th, you have to pitch the ball better, keep playing great defense, and get a timely hit. Until these things start happening, you're going to see the five-game bad games, and you're going to see one or two winning streaks. And it's a shame because this team is a really good team.
Well, on that vein, it's Kevin Barker, Ben Ennis, Baseball Central, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The starters that are in there right now, do you see room for improvement? Is R.A. Dickey really going to go the whole season with an ERA of 6? Probably not. I mean, we've already seen Mark Burley kind of turn it around the last couple of times out. Drew Hutchison has underperformed greatly. I don't know what we're going to get out of Aaron Sanchez. I guess we're going to get the great starts where he's not walking that many and able to turn the double plays behind him with that sinker ball. I mean, is there a chance that this rotation will just improve organically and you won't have to do anything because they have performed so lousily early this season?
I don't think so. I think it's one of those things where if you had one or maybe two guys struggling, you have the entire staff struggling and then most of your bullpen struggling besides Osuna. When these things are happening, to me, you have to go out and get that guy that sort of shakes things up. It's going to bring a different attitude, bring a different way of preparing every 5 days, giving that guy that John Gibbons can go at least we have the stopper every 5 days that we can bring and throw strikes, get guys out, give us a chance to win. Who's that guy here? That's my question. 1 through 5, right now they don't have that guy. And until they get that guy, it's going to be up and down. We're going to have to keep answering these questions on who it's going to be and what it's going to be. And then you got your superstars like Donaldson coming out and saying, basically, it's put up or shut up time. Yeah. And, you know, that's in May, that's not what you want to hear from a really good team. And you're one of your best players. And I just, you know, it's to me, it's going to be real tough to fix because these guys are young. Drew Hutchison, young. Aaron Sanchez is young. Ari Dickey's older guy. The knuckleball's obviously not doing what he wants it to do. How do you fix that? There's a lot of questions. That's why I say you have to go out if you're Alex. If you have to spend a prospect to do it, if you have to spend a little bit of money, then that's what you have to do. If you want to win now, these are the things you have to do. If you don't, you want to rebuild, then you let it keep going the way it is, and it is what it is. But to me, this team is really good. It's a lot better on the defensive side of the ball, which they haven't been in years. They're a lot better offensive team, but their pitching is not there. How do you fix it? You go out and maybe get a guy that can be that stopper every 5 days.
You need to sacrifice a live chicken, I think. So you mentioned the Josh Donaldson comments after the Saturday loss. There was still one more to come in Houston after these comments, but here's what he said after that loss to the Astros.
I can only control what I do. The guy beside me can only control what they do. It's really just about going out there and, you know, either getting the job done, or this isn't the try league. You know, this is the get it done league. Eventually, they're going to find people who are going to get it done.
So there you go. Josh Donaldson with, I don't want to say veiled comments. I mean, he's pretty upfront about it, but he was talking about specific underperformers on the pitching staff, because there aren't too many offensively that are underperforming, but the pitching staff as a whole has severely underperformed. And he's right. I mean, already we've seen some moves. Hey, Jeff Francis, you can't get lefties out, you're gone. It's the get-it-done league. You got to get it done. And I mean, that seems obvious, but to have this guy who's new to the situation, mm-hmm. who's supposed to be one of the leaders, and by all accounts, is a leader in the clubhouse, does that carry weight? Like, how do you think that is being responded to in that clubhouse? Is it a little tense for the guys who aren't performing? I'm sure it already was, but how do you think that kind of comment is received?
It should be. This is a big boys league. When you're not playing like a big boy and you're not doing your job, this is what we even heard Greg Zahn earlier when he was on with you, that if you're not putting up right now, it's something may happen. This is just part of baseball. When I played baseball, I was in the big leagues. I didn't do well. Guess what happened? I was either released or I was sent down. That's the nature of the game. That's the way baseball is. And this year is like no other for the Blue Jays. Basically, the understanding was coming into this season is it's a put up or shut up year. We have to win this year. Well, the five guys you have in your rotation is not getting it done right now. These are things that you need to go out and try to fix, and fix it before it gets out of control. And because, you know, the further you fall behind, the harder it is these young guys to come out and throw, put up 7-8 scoreless innings to give your team a chance to win, because it's added pressure. The more you lose, the more pressure it is on younger guys. Guys like Kevin Pillar in the outfield hitting on the side of the baseball. It's going to be tougher these guys to put together better at bats. It's going to be tougher for these guys, Aaron Sanchez, to throw more strikes when you're losing. Until they start winning, until they start getting that winning attitude, it's going to be very hard for these young guys to succeed.
Talking about pressure, there's more pressure on the manager as well, John Gibbons. We've already seen a couple of firings this year in the Major Leagues of Baseball. The Brewers fired their manager. The Marlins just fired their manager yesterday and placed him with a guy who's the GM, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, I mean, the conversation's starting to shift a little bit. We've heard, you know, winds of it the last couple of years, and it was obviously controversial when the Blue Jays and Alex Anthopoulos brought John Gibbons back for a second stint 3 years ago. But now, over those 3 years, he's a combined 15 games under .500. And I'm not saying he's a bad manager or he's done a bad job necessarily, but Kev, I'm sure you've been on teams that have gone through a change at the managerial level, and sometimes it works for whatever reason. Like, I mean, we try to analyze baseball and have it make sense. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Is that something that might be beneficial for this team to get a new voice?
Well, it's part of baseball. I'm not saying that's the best thing for the Blue Jays to do right now. I'm not saying that. Will it happen if they keep losing? You know, it's I'm sure it's going to be a conversation with us. It's going to be a conversation within the Blue Jays organization. That's just the way it is. That's the nature of the business. When you are expected to win, like the Blue Jays are expected to win, we can all say that. They have a good enough team on both sides of the ball to win in the American League East, especially the way the East is this year. And when they're losing and they're not winning, this is what starts happening. You start talking about new managers. And to me, it all starts with on your team. It starts within. Can you, if you're a player on this team and you're not doing your job, can you go in the mirror and look at yourself and say, can I do better? Do I have to do things? Can I go to the field and do a better job? That, to me, is what has to start happening. Step one. And then it's just a trickle-down effect. One guy has to say, I'm going to take the lead here. We're going to go with me. Follow the leader. That's on the pitching side of the ball, whether it's a Mark Burley that just came off an eight-inning outing, and then it just starts trickling down. It starts with Todd Redman today. He's going to follow the leader. If these things can start happening, then you're going to see better managerial things happening. We're not going to have these conversations. The team's just going to look better on the field, and ultimately, you're going to start winning games, which is what it's all about in baseball, is the W's and L's. And until that starts happening, we're going to keep having these conversations. Is it the best thing to happen right now? Who knows? That's something that's up to Alex and the people that own the Blue Jays. They're going to have to make those tough decisions. And, you know, it's all part of baseball. Again, I get back to that. Is it better for the team? That's all going to be told in upcoming games, I think.
You've, I'm sure, had managers that were, like, fiery or threw stuff around. Like the manager in Major League throwing the bats all over the shower. I'm sure you've also had laid-back players-type managers.
Mm-hmm.
Who got the best out of the group? Or was it different for the different groups that you had? I mean, was there some that would not respond to a guy who's freaking out and yelling after every loss? And it certainly seems like John Gibbons is more in the laid-back category of things. Mm-hmm. Is there maybe a problem with that, with this group?
Well, I don't think so. I think it gets down to your team. You have to have a guy on your team that polices the way you're playing and the way you look and the demeanor of your team. And I think Donaldson's that guy. He's basically came out and called his entire team out and said, this is the way we're going to do it here. That's what you want to hear. That's what you want to hear from Alex. You want to hear this from John Gibbons. You want everyone to know, fans to know, your players to know that this is not the way we do things here. We have to come here every day and do the right thing to give this team a chance to win. How managers do jobs, a good manager to me is the one's not heard. It's sort of like an umpire. The best umpire is the ones you don't notice on the field. That's why you say you have a good team. You go and fix the clubhouse, which is what Alex did in the offseason. John Gibbons basically said last year when the season was over, the clubhouse is not where I want it to be. Well, you go out and get a Russell Martin and a Josh Donaldson. Those things take care of themselves. Now what do you do? Now you have to pitch the ball, catch the ball, and get a timely hit. And you just you hope, because this team is such a good team. On paper, basically this team is the best team in the American League East. Now you have to go out and do it. You have to start trickle-down effect. Mark Burley started the merry-go-round. Now it's Todd Redman's turn, and just so on and so forth.
So we mentioned the Marlins fired their manager, Mike Redman, and in comes GM Dan Jennings. He's now the new manager. And apparently, according to reports, he's not an interim manager. He's the manager mm-hmm. for the foreseeable future, so whatever that means, at least to the end of this season.
Right.
But how would you like that? The guy who's like sending you up and down, DFAing people. Hey, now he's with the troops day in, day out, giving you orders on the bench. How would you like that?
To me, it'd be very uncomfortable. It's a situation like if you're, you know, one of those players that's on the fence, like you said, that goes up and down all the time. What if you don't like Dan? That's another, you know, what if there's four or five guys on that team that he sent down and they just don't like him? Then what? It's a very uncomfortable situation. This is why, what if he's not a very good manager? Then who fires Dan?
Right.
Well, you're the GM, so you fire yourself. It gets to be one of those, to me, it's a situation that doesn't seem like it's going to work. It's very awkward. That's a word I would think. Is that a good word, awkward?
Yeah, it's extremely awkward.
It's a very awkward situation. It's just
I imagine you would have known awkward. I'm sure you've been in numerous awkward situations in your life.
Never anything like this. This okay. is one of those situations you You're their GM and the manager. It's very confusing, very awkward. I'm not sure it's going to work. You know, I know the Marlins spent a lot of money in the offseason. They're expected to win, and it's just like everybody else. When you're not winning, you make changes. But is this really the change you want to make to your team? It's awkward, it's confusing, and I'm not sure it's going to last very long.
Well, plus, he has no experience both as a manager. I mean, the last time he was anything close to this was 30 years ago in Alabama. He was a high school head coach. He's also never played professional baseball at any level.
So it's perfect. It's a perfect fit, right?
I mean, come on. Like, as a former player, I mean, we've seen it a couple of times. The Orioles had a manager that never played any level of professional baseball a couple of years ago. It's very rare, but we've seen it. Can you imagine, you know, the clubhouse chemistry, looking over to the guy who's trying to put you in the best position to win, and he's never played baseball at any high level, and his last coaching experience was 30 years ago in high school.
Right. Well, the one thing that the problem I see with the Marlins, to me, looking, I'm not every day in the clubhouse with this team, it looks like the leadership there is a little bit of a question mark. And you want your leader, a guy that's been there and done it, and sometimes that starts with your manager, or most of the time it does start with your manager. Well, from what you just said, a guy that hasn't managed in 30 years and did it at a high school. Was it a high school? College.
Yeah,
college,
high school,
whatever it
high
was.
School.
30 years ago, has never played baseball. Again, it gets back to being awkward. It gets back to being one of those things you scratch your head. If you're on the team, you're coming going, huh, where is this team headed? Are we really trying this year? It's one of those things. And I don't think it's going to last very long. Again, what do you do? If you're Dan, what do? You fire yourself? Do you go out and hire another guy? It seems like he's there the rest of the year. You can do both things. So basically, you're talking to other agents about your team. And
well,
you're
apparently,
going,
they're going to have somebody kind of doing that job for him. So he's not going to be doing both at the same time. Although he is the GM in name, he's going to have somebody else doing the paperwork that he's normally doing.
Yeah, can that work?
Nah, I don't think so. It seems unlikely.
Again, it's very awkward. It seems like this team is going backwards instead of forwards when, you know, you've just basically hired or signed a guy that you think is the best player in the big leagues, and Giancarlo Stanton, and now you're doing things like this. It's confusing and awkward, and again, it seems like this team's going backwards.
There's a lot of things to like about that Marlins team, though. They have great uniforms. That ballpark looks amazing. I love the sculpture in center field, and you mentioned it, Giancarlo Stanton. My goodness, the number of long bombs he's hit this year,
right.
Including the one over the weekend to straightaway center field, caught by the guy hanging over the railing. Did you see that?
I did, but I don't think they're sort of like the Blue Jays. They don't pitch the ball very well, and they don't get that big hit on occasion. That's an issue. And when you don't do things like that, it makes moves like this a little, I'm not want to say humorous or funny, but, you know, when you're not a guy that covers the Marlins all the time, and then you see things like this happening to a team that you just said seems like it should be really good on paper, and then you're doing things like this. It's a little humorous and a little awkward, and I'm not real sure it's going to last very long.
Well, I guess the theory is trying to recapture the magic that happened in 2003 when they fired the manager with the exact same record, went on to win the World Series that year. A little bit of a different scenario with this team. But it can happen. It has happened, and maybe Jeffrey Loria will have the last laugh. It seems unlikely, though, at this point in time. It's the Blue Jays and Angels coming up. 107 first pitch down at Rogers Center. The roof still closed, apparently. I don't know if we've heard definitively whether it will be open or closed. I bet you Joe Siddle will have a pretty good handle on whether the roof will be open or closed. We'll also talk about Todd Redmond making his first start of the season for the Blue Jays after a little stint down in AAA. And the roof is going to be open. Okay, that's good news. That's tremendous news. R.A. Dickey not on the hill, so he's not upset. So that's good news. Probably 40,000 plus on a holiday Monday down at Rogers Center with the sun shining through. We'll talk to Joe Siddle down at a roof-open Rogers Center. Coming up next, it's Baseball Central. Ben Ennis, Kevin Barker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Baseball Central, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Ben Ennis, Kevin Barker, filling in for Jeff Blair, I am. It's Victoria Day. Happy Victoria Day to you and yours. Fireworks going on all over the city. Fireworks were going on outside my bedroom at 2:30 this morning. It's not a big deal. I feel like that was maybe like some Angel fans or something. Like, I don't know.
Did your wife like that?
No, she wasn't a big fan. She thought we were under attack, actually, at 2:30. Really? The dog didn't like it either. Did you ever have that, like, playing opposing fans, like, sitting outside your hotel room, lighting fireworks off or anything? You see that a lot in soccer. And, like, I guess in the major leagues, you'll see that in playoff games. You never had that?
No, there's too many games. I never was in the playoffs in the big leagues.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It didn't matter.
I guess that's true.
There you go.
Joe Siddle down at Rogers Center. Roof going to be open for today's game, Blue Jays and Angels. Joe, any fireworks where you are? You seen any fireworks yet? You going to go see fireworks tonight?
No, I live a pretty boring life, guys. I'm just watching the roof slowly open here from the booth. The Angels just took the field to begin their batting practice.
Your whole life is filled with fireworks, including moments like this where you get to be on with Kevin and I. So a bit of a curveball thrown to us in that Todd Redmond not only is called up, I guess that's maybe not a surprise with Jeff Francis being DFA'd, but the fact that he's going to start today, Joe, that's a bit of a surprise. What do you make of that?
I was as surprised as you guys this morning when I saw that, and just finished our meeting with the media with Gibby, and John Gibbons basically said they're in a stretch of 20 days straight here with no days off, and they did it last year in a situation like this where they had a few weeks straight without a day off, and they want to give all of their starters in the rotation an extra day. So to do that, they're going to go with Redmond today and back up, and we'll see Aaron Sanchez tomorrow now instead of today against the Angels.
Yeah, Joe, Mark Burley obviously had a better start. To me, when I watched that game, he did exactly what he was supposed to do against a team that's not very good hitting team. Did you see any adjustments he made to throw more strikes?
I saw Mark Burley again, and that's what we're used to seeing last year. And I think when I say that, what I mean is I call it classic Mark Burley. I use that term all the time. He's done it his whole career. He's a guy that's not going to overpower you. He's a crafty left-hander that has to be on the edges of the plate and the edges of the strike zone with his good movement. And I thought he was very good yesterday. Of course, they got him a few times. When he misses, he usually gets hurt, and we saw that yesterday with some of those hard-hit balls. But I thought he pitched a great ball game, and he kept his team in the game. And I think what I took from yesterday more than anything, and I said it towards the end of the broadcast, I loved the fact that John Gibbons allowed Mark Burley to finish that ball game. It was a losing effort, but he went out there, finished that thing. He didn't need the bullpen. And I wonder if there's not a message there sent both to the starting rotation and the bullpen. The message to the bullpen is, guys, we need you to go deeper in the ball game. Let's follow suit now from the crafty veteran here. He did a nice job. And also a little maybe a message to the bullpen. If I'm a reliever yesterday, I'm thinking, yeah, he doesn't trust us right now. He's not coming down there. So starters, you start going longer, give our bullpen a better chance, and you bullpen guys got to start pitching better. I don't know if there's a hidden message there, but that was my interpretation. It was nice to see Burley go well over 100 pitches, and we never mind that 100-pitch count. We let him go out there because he was cruising along.
Yeah, lots of messages being sent these days, Joe. One of them was sent by Josh Donaldson after that game on Saturday, and it was one that, I mean, it gets traction here because you don't hear a lot of guys saying it, but it makes a lot of sense. I mean, the guys that perform will be allowed to perform. The guys that aren't performing, we got to find people that can perform. You were there in Houston, and I'm sure you're getting a sense of how those comments were received by the rest of the players in that clubhouse. Was that just part of the whole package of Josh Donaldson and coming over with the rep of being a leader?
I love it, and I think it's going to make an impact with this club. I think what we saw is some frustration finally boil over, and, of course, anybody that watched Blue Jays baseball last week, especially those four in Houston, it was about time that that happened, I think. And Josh probably just had enough, and he had a few microphones in his face and cameras in his face after the ball game, and I think, quite frankly, he spoke his mind. Coming from Josh Donaldson, I would hope that everybody in that room would respond in a positive way, because this is a guy that's been to the playoffs. He knows what it's like to be on a winning team. When Josh Donaldson was brought here, he wasn't just brought here because he's a tremendous talent. I think he's a good guy to have around that clubhouse, and hopefully that will make an impact. I would certainly hope some eyebrows were raised. I don't know the answer to that yet. I guess time will tell, and we'll see after this series with the Angels.
Yeah, Joe, let me ask you, on the road, this hitting staff is obviously not doing what they do at home. They strike out almost 100 times more on the road than they do at home. approaches to me when I watch those games in Houston, whether it's whatever the case it may be, is different. Do you have any idea why that is? And if they can get back to their great approach they have at home?
Well, the home and road thing is a really funny split, but I think bottom line is this is one of the highest scoring offenses in baseball. So number one, the red flag is up, and they're going to get pitched a little tougher. Now what you have to do as hitters is make the adjustments. And we've seen a lot of times, and you've seen it, Kev, when these guys expand the zone, and you know as a hitter, it's hard enough to hit pitches in the strike zone, let alone chasing. And that's what they're going to do, and especially some of the big boys. We've seen Jose and Edwin all year. They're just pounding away, breaking balls away, fastballs away, even off the plate. And sometimes the calls don't go their way, but they keep pounding. And in talking to hitting coaches and hitters around this team, they need to make those adjustments, and they need to look out over the plate a little bit more and think about going the other way a little bit more. If you're going to continue to be in kind of pull mode, you're playing into the pitcher's hand, and I think we saw that in Houston a little bit, especially some of the late inning guys that were going away, away, away with that off-speed stuff. You can't keep trying to pull the baseball. So I think it's a case of a high-powered offense here. Pitchers know that. They're going to pitch them tough. But now as hitters, you got to make adjustments. You can't try to do too much, and you have to sometimes take what's given to you. Saw Russell Martin go the other way for a base hit late in the ballgame yesterday on an 0-2 pitch. That's the approach you need. And I spoke with Brooke Jacoby about that today. And in fact, on this topic, I spoke to him about all the strikeouts the last couple of days. And I said, is that something you bring up with your hitters? Is that something you talk about? And he says, you know, not that they're necessarily just blips on the screen, but I don't really like to talk about it a whole lot because now you're planting that seed in their heads. You almost want those days to be gone and start fresh here at home. So it's an interesting, almost psychological effect, but I agree with it.
Yeah, Joe, you talk about the approach. Everybody's throwing big guys middle away and a little bit off the plate. And people listening to this show are going, well, that's pretty obvious that you do to a guy that loves the ball in. If you're a hitter on this team, can you explain how you would do that? Do you move on the plate? Is that better to do? Or is it just go up and it's more middle thing that I'm thinking right center and it just the bad hit goes to right center? Is that one of the things you do if you're a great hitter?
One thing you can do, Kev, inch a little closer to the plate, but that's something, too, you got to be careful of because I know as a catcher, you watch for things like that in hitters and their stances. If an Edwin Encarnacion or a Bautista is going to get a little closer to the plate, then I will start pounding them in because catchers notice that. I think the biggest thing, and not just for those two, but other hitters also, is letting the ball travel, letting the ball get deep. And when we say that, it's not letting the ball get into the catcher's mitt and swinging late. What it is, it's a mindset. It's a mindset that you're trying to really sit back on that back leg a little bit longer than you normally would to allow that ball to travel. You always want to catch the ball out front. Even when you go the other way, you're catching the ball deep in your stance, but it's not like it's behind you. Mm-hmm. So you want to think about it. It's more of a thought process than anything else is letting the ball travel. When you do that, you ride that back leg a little bit longer, and you stay on the baseball better, and that bat stays in the zone a lot longer. If you stay back, you've got a better chance to drive that ball the other way. And a lot of these guys, of course, as good as they are, everybody can drive the ball the other way. Not necessarily out of the park, but the big boys can. So what you want to do is then if you're on time, you drive it back up the middle. Then if you actually catch it out front, you pull the ball. But that's pulling the ball properly. What we're seeing a lot of times with these guys is they're pulling the ball by coming around it. Your hands get away from you, and they're in hook mode. When you do that and the pitcher stays away from you, you're going to get weak contact to the pull side all day. That's when the hitters basically get themselves out.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Joe Siddle down at Rogers Center, Blue Jays and Angels after 1 o'clock, Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. And speaking about guys going outside the zone, swinging at pitches, maybe they weren't even necessarily swinging at early in the season. I think I was most impressed, Joe, by Devin Travis's knowledge of the strike zone early in the season. And before he got injured and pulled out of the lineup, he was kind of swinging at a few more breaking balls in the dirt, a few more pitches that were not strikes early in counts. I wonder how much of that was because he's not at 100% and hasn't really been for a while now after that little bit of a collarbone injury. What are you seeing out of Devin Travis?
Well, Ben, I think it's twofold, and I think the first thing you're right on, first and foremost, most of you all saw that ball that he took off the collarbone, and quite frankly, Devin's trying to play hero right now, and yeah, he has been the last couple weeks, and it certainly, I think, has affected his swing. John Gibbons talked about that again today. I talked to Devin about a week ago, and when I asked him the question, how's that collarbone, he kind of just gave me that little smirk on his face like, it's okay. Well, I knew it wasn't okay. So he's been trying to play through something, and hey, guys, it's hard enough to hit in this game, Kev, you know that,
right?
Let alone when you're hurting somewhere, especially not for him, it's his left collarbone, which is his front side. But I think in talking to Devin, too, what he did is, you know, here is rookie of the month in the American League. Now, first of all, the red flags go up here. This guy maybe was at the bottom of the order for most of the month there, and he was getting a lot of fastballs, a lot of good pitches to hit. So now the league knows him a little bit. He's gotten around. Now they're making adjustments, and the pitchers were pitching him tougher, throwing a lot more breaking balls and stuff away. What he said he's doing, he's learning to identify those pitches, but what he was doing is he was picking up the spin on a slider and swinging at it anyway just because he identified it correctly, even though it was out of the zone. So this is the graduation process, and again, this is a young hitter in the major leagues in his first year, and these are the growing pains that you have to live with. He now has to take that next step and identify that breaking ball, and if it's away, lay off it. If it's in the zone, hammer it, and we've seen him do it a couple times, but this is it's a long process. It does not happen overnight, but some of the things we've seen from Travis are very encouraging, and I think the biggest thing right there is that's something you get from a young player, and that's why this game is so difficult.
Yeah, Joe, let me ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You being an ex-catcher, you've seen a lot of pitchers, a lot of way guys get guys out. If you're a GM of the Toronto Blue Jays, can you stick with the five you got, or do you think there need to be changes made?
In the rotation?
Right.
Well, right now I think you roll because there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because all teams are getting ready for the draft now. They're busy with all their draft meetings. There's not a whole lot. I don't think movement is going to happen right now. And Alex Anthopoulos talked about that last week. But so you roll. And what you got to hope for is people start doing what Burley did yesterday and giving your team a chance to win. They need to see that out of Dickey. They need to see that out of the young guys. But I said it coming out of spring training, guys, it's a lot to ask for an aging Mark Burley and Ari Dickey, a year older, to put up the numbers they put up last year. They both had nice, solid seasons last season. Now, again, if Burley can keep doing that, if Dickey can step it up, but again, you're asking a lot for, and it's Aaron Sanchez. Here's a guy, really, he's quite frankly still learning how to pitch, and he's doing it at the major league level. Not easy. So most of his mistakes, he's going to get hit hard or get burned for, and we've seen that happen. And Hutchinson, to me, is still a mystery. He's the one coming out of spring training that I really felt that he was going to step up in the absence of Stroman. Now, is he putting too much pressure on himself? Maybe. But he had that kind of Jekyll and Hyde season last year. He would have a great start, then he'd have a bad start. But I think what we're seeing from Drew Hutchinson this year is that you're starting to see that good and bad within a ball game. He'll have a good couple innings, then a terrible inning. And he just has not found that consistency within a ball game now, not just within starts, but within these games. So he has to step up for sure. And then who knows what's going to happen with that other spot. Today it's Todd Redman. I'm sure we'll see Daniel Norris again, but talking about another young pitcher that's still learning how to pitch. It's hard to do at the major league level.
Mm-hmm. Joe, got to go. But Jose Bautista apparently going to start throwing today. It's not on the field. But if he can throw today, I mean, how soon can he be back in right field?
I would hope like a week ago. I mean, this is how it's affecting the lineup, guys. It really is. This has been way too long. I'm not sure what the heck's going on with that in terms of how he can pick up a baseball and throw. But I tell you what, with Bautista in right field and Justin Smoke at first base with his bat and his defense and then allowing Edwin to DH a little bit more often and stay off his feet, that's the best team for the Blue Jays to put out there, and it just has not happened. So it can't happen soon enough, and hopefully Bautista can get back out there.
Hey, Joe, thanks a lot for this. Enjoy the game. Maybe some fireworks afterwards as well. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There's Joe Siddle down at Rogers Center. Blue Jays and Angels coming your way in just a matter of an hour and a half-ish, as it is Todd Redman freshly called up, getting the start against C.J. Wilson. You should go see some fireworks today, Kev. We'll go together.
I'll try to.
No, you won't. That's a lie. It's a lie. I can't believe you'd lie right to me, right to my face.
Well, yeah.
All right, I will. I'll go check out some fireworks. It's Blue Jays baseball. Then you got a little hockey tonight on CBC and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Game 2, Rangers and Tampa Bay Lightning. Jose Bautista back as the DH today, maybe in right field soon. I'm Ben Ennis. Follow me on Twitter at BenNSNet. I've been filling in for Jeff Blair. For Kevin Barker, have a spectacular afternoon. See you later.